Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, May 12th, 2015. And with me today, I have the always happy Kelly Gamont. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. And John Martellaro is here today as well. How are you doing, John?
Good day. I'm splendid.
Awesome. You sound a little different today. Are you on a new mic?
I am testing a new mic this week. There was a sort of a break in the action while I received some new mics. Even though I had switched to a set of dynamic mics, Sennheiser sent me an MK4, which is a pretty awesome looking and sounding condenser mic.
Mm-hmm.
And all the listeners, let me know how this mic sounds compared to the Rode Podcaster I used previously.
Yes, and we'll include a link to this in the show notes in case you want to check it out. So, cool. Yeah, let us know what you think about John's microphones, because in the end, you guys are playing a very real role in the decision of what microphone he will use going forward.
And if you don't tell me what you like, then I'm going to pick my favorite.
You will pick your favorite with a little bit of input from me.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Hey, the first thing I wanted to look at today is a piece that you wrote a couple days ago, John. You talked about Apple and their role in the robotics world, and I thought that might be kind of fun to explore.
Yeah, it's a really tricky subject. What got me thinking about it was something you wrote about Brian White, an analyst with Cantor Fitzgerald, and he opined that Apple is on a real innovation kick, and Mr. White thinks, as you wrote, that the company could be going down the path of personal robotics. And it got me thinking, because I had just seen the trailer for Ex Machina, even though I haven't seen the movie yet. I've got a pretty good feel for it. I read some reviews and a long story at The Verge about it. And this is a really tricky subject area, because as soon as robots take human form and become sentient, we run into all sorts of social problems about how we treat the robots and the level of protection that they get. And that comes up in the movie, I believe, in Ex Machina. I don't want to give away too much of the plot, but I think it's known that this first version of the robot is not quite up to snuff. And she sort of feels threatened. And so all through the 50 or 60 years of science fiction lore, including most famously Isaac Asimov and his robot stories, we've explored in movies and science fiction just exactly how we expect to relate to robots. And that perception has changed over the years. As a society, we get more and more mature. Our understanding and our level of sophistication as a species becomes better. And the question is, are we evolved enough to the point where we think we can even handle personal robots who can talk to us and do chores and become a member of the family? Because there's all sorts of social and psychological consequences. I mean, we have a hard time treating each other really well. So what would happen if robots came on the scene? How would we react to that? And how much would they cost, and who'd be able to use them, and what kind of rights would they have, and who would be making them? And would we trust that company? I wrote a science fiction story years ago about a wicked company that inserted evil code into the robot. So when you send it to the grocery store to bring back Yoplait yogurt, the robot brought Dannon instead and got a kickback. The person who put the code in there got a kickback from Dannon. So, you know, there's all sorts of opportunities for evil, and sort of started me thinking, may or may not be sophisticated enough yet as a species in 2015 to even think about this. And if we did, how much would it cost? I mean, it wouldn't be even similar to Apple's R&D expenditures in cars, because cars are known technology. We know how to do that. You can make technical advances. But what about robots? Think of all the R&D money and the expense it would take to deliver robots to a family and make them reliable and trustworthy and protected and useful and all that. So it's a huge subject. So I explored just a little bit of it in Particle Debris, hopefully, just to get people thinking about, are we ready? Maybe not.
Well, if we are ready, do you think Apple's the company to take us into the personal robot age?
Well, I finished the article with who else but Apple? Who else has the money? And who else would we trust? I certainly don't think I would trust a personal robot built by certain companies, and other companies I think I would trust, because Apple has such a long legacy of privacy and protection, because Tim Cook has such strong ethical and moral values. Apple seems like a company that's poised to be that trustworthy company. But of course, there'll be a lot of competition, and there'll be a lot of different companies making robots. That'll be a parade of interesting disasters and competition in itself. I mean, what if your robot feels threatened by another family's robot from a different company? How would it react? All sorts of things could happen. Science fiction galore, movies galore. And every time I think about it, I think maybe we're not ready for this.
I would like to think we're ready, but you may be right, because
I hope we are. I expect we are not.
Okay. Yeah, I like how you phrase
that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Kelly.
All right. So, John, if Apple were to start making robots, do you think they would start with a full-on, like, personal assistant sort of thing that a lot of people picture? You know, I'll use C-3PO as an example. Or do you think they would start with something more? Well, I hate to use the term rudimentary, but
simple. Something like the movie Robot and Frank is how I envision it. There's a cute movie called Robot and Frank, where Frank Langella is a ex jewel thief, and he's getting older, and his son buys him a robot to help him out. Turns out that the Frank Langella character seduces the robot into helping him resume his life as a jewel thief.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good movie. But, you know, 4 foot tall, you know, mobile, understands English, can take instruction, can do things, fetch things, do dishes. How much of a mentality it has, how introspective it is, how sentient it is, whether it passes the Turing test, whether it has Asimov's three laws of robotics or something different, all will remain to be intense questions for research about placing limits on the robot so that it doesn't try to become, you know, too powerful and influential an entity in your life. It's got to be subservient and yet respected, because if it's too subservient, you know, people might buy one and then abuse it. So it's got to be able to protect itself, but it's also got to be responsive. And how you do that has got to be a subject of massive R&D efforts and massive cultural acclimation. And so I would think that there would be a very simple, low level of intelligence and insight. And of course, we don't know how to do consciousness yet. We haven't figured out what the human biological source of consciousness is. So a robot without that, hopefully, and programmed correctly, with maybe, you know, Asimov's three laws of robotics in the secure enclave. I was just thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. Okay. So my guess is that when we hit the point where we really are getting attainable personal assistant type robots, the first wave or potentially first few waves, I don't think they're going to have the protections to keep them from being abused. Meaning someone buys a robot, they don't like how it works, they start banging on it with a baseball bat or take it out in a field and start shooting it up. And and I think the robots will, because they won't have a consciousness and they won't have programming to protect themselves.
Or laws.
Yeah. They will be seen just like a mobile computer. I mean, there's nothing to stop you from beating your computer today with a baseball bat or taking it out into a field and shooting it up. And I have a feeling it will be the same for robots for at least a while. Although that is kind of sad because we anthropomorphize. And if this becomes a companion device that can truly interact with us, people will do just that. They will anthropomorphize these devices.
Yeah, we haven't even touched on the subject of sexual surrogates, which is a big subject in science fiction and movies as well. Another very delicate subject.
That's true. I think we would need more than the time we have in today's show to dive into that.
Yeah.
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 Daily Observations After Dark.
That's right. Yes. All right. Well, I'm really interested to see what happens with robotics. And honestly, I do hope this is a field that Apple is seriously looking at. I mean, I think it's cool that they're looking at automobiles. I think it's cool that they have found ways to revolutionize or really disrupt all these other markets. So we have iPhones, we have really good mobile computers, we have iPads, and now we have Apple Watch. So I'm looking forward to the day that I can bring a robot into my house that has a nice little Apple logo right in on its center.
I hope it lights up.
I don't know. That would be kind of fun. Little light up Apple logo right on our little robots. Yeah. Cool. Hey, the other thing I want to talk about today, Kelly, you have some tips for us.
I do. It's kind of my jam. And one of the things that I realized sometimes for a lot of people, especially over the last few days, because I attended CocoaConf last week, was people talking about iCloud and syncing in all kinds of capacities, whether it's contact syncing or, you know, getting mail working properly in more than one place or anything like that. There's a lot of things that rely on iCloud for sync. So I thought that I would, at least for people who sort of don't even know where to begin, I thought I would start out with a basic troubleshooting iCloud syncing checklist, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty straightforward, and it's just a matter of the basics. You know, it's not you, it's Apple. You know, if you're having trouble with something syncing in iCloud, make sure that iCloud is up, because there are times when various services are up and down. There's a status page from Apple that you can go look at to see if anything that Apple has their hands in is up and running. It's a long list of stuff, but you can see all the things you need to know. You know, everything's got a little green light or a little red light next to it, and you can tell pretty quickly if there's a problem. So you start with that, and then you know, you have to go through the first two rules of tech support. Is it plugged in and is it turned on? So make sure that you've got the right information plugged into your system. If somebody's gone stomping through your preferences because you didn't think about it and handed your phone to your small child or to somebody who was just sort of messing around with it and maybe inadvertently deleted part of your email address or cleared out your password or something, that could be causing you difficulty. And also making sure that it is in fact on, because those are the same things that can get your iCloud sync disabled. So make sure that those are working properly. Make sure that you've got your time and date set to sync automatically, because that's another thing that will cause all kinds of problems. I've seen people who will travel and they want to make sure that their phone stays on their native time zone's time, so they won't turn on the set automatically, and now nothing will sync because the timestamps don't match anymore.
Oh, I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah, so that makes things all kinds of angry. And it's a small esoteric setting, and you never think about the timestamp being the thing that's causing your syncing to be a problem. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to call that out. And then also, from there, there's Melissa Holt wrote up one of her quick tips for sort of kicking syncing on some easy on a mailing contacts go into iCloud, and she talks about how to work those out. And then just making sure that you know, you can always try turning it all off and turning it back on again. You know, if it was on already, turn it off and maybe throw a reboot in the middle and then log back into it and see if you can get things sorted out. And it's just sometimes, at least for me, it's nice to have something to refer back to so I don't have to think about all of the settings, because I'm trying to juggle all the other information I'm getting, whether it's myself, you know, trying to suss out why I'm having something fall over, or some family member has called me and said, I can't figure out why my mail quit working on my iPad, or whatever it is. At least this way I can concentrate on the other things that they're telling me, and I can have this list to sort of refer back to. So I figured it would be a handy resource for other people as well.
That's awesome. Thank you for taking the time to write that up. And of course, I will have a link to that in our show notes, because it's just so much easier for you guys to find stuff when I put it together for you.
Exactly.
I'm like that for you. Yeah. Hey, next week, which is the week leading up to Memorial Day, if you're going to be around New Orleans on the 20th and 21st, I am speaking at the ACES conference, which is right in New Orleans, right near the French Quarter, actually, which would be really cool because it's been so long since I've had the opportunity to visit the French Quarter. And this looks like it's going to be a fantastic conference for people that do any level of consulting for people using Apple products. So you should totally come and see me there. And if you're going to be in Denver on Memorial Day weekend, so that will be the 23rd, 24th, and 25th, come to Denver Comic Con, because I'm going to be there too, and I'm going to be doing some of the onstage celebrity interviews. And it would be totally awesome to get to meet people and just say hi. So come to both events, and I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Yes, there are links in the show notes to both of those. And we're about out of time. So, John, thank you for bringing your ideas on robots to the show today.
You're welcome.
And Kelly, thank you for setting us straight on how to troubleshoot iCloud syncing.
Of course.
And listeners, thank you for joining us yet again. And we will see everyone again tomorrow.